Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarika, Text 37. Tam.
Tam.
Ayam.
Ayam.
Manyate.
Manyate.
Loko.
Loko.
I. Asanga.
Asanga.
Api.
Api.
Sangina.
Sangina.
Atmopamyena.
Atmopamyena.
Manuja.
Manuja.
Vyaprinvanam.
Vyaprinvanam.
Yato. Buddha. Tamaya manyate loko.
Tamaya manyate loko.
Yasangam api sanginam.
Yasangam api sanginam.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Tamaya manyate loko.
Tamaya manyate loko.
Yasangam api sanghina.
Yasangam api sanghina.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Tamaya manyate loko.
Tamaya manyate loko.
Yasangam api sanghina.
Yasangam api sanghina.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Atmopamyena manuja.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Tam.
Tam.
Unto Lord Krishna.
Unto Lord Krishna.
Ayam.
Ayam.
All these common men.
All these common men.
Manyate.
Manyate.
Do speculate within the mind.
Do speculate within the mind.
Loka.
Loka.
The conditioned souls.
The conditioned souls.
He. Certainly.
Certainly.
Asanga.
Asanga.
Unattached.
Unattached.
Api.
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Sangina.
Sangina.
Affected.
Affected.
Atma.
Atma.
Self.
Self.
Opamyena.
Opamyena.
By comparison with the self.
By comparison with the self.
Manuja.
Manuja.
Ordinary men.
Ordinary men.
Vyaprinvana.
Vyaprinvana.
Being engaged in.
Being engaged in.
Yata.
Yata.
Because.
Because.
Abuddha.
Abuddha.
Foolish because of ignorance.
Foolish because of ignorance.
Translation. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although He is unattached. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Abuddha is significant here. Due to ignorance only, the foolish, mundane wranglers misunderstand the Supreme Lord and spread their foolish imaginations amongst innocent persons by propaganda. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the original primeval personality of Godhead, and when he was personally present before the eyes of everyone, he displayed full-fledged divine potency in every field of activities. As we've already explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's completely independent to act however he likes, but all his actions are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Only the foolish mundaners misunderstand him, unaware of his eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. His different potencies work in a perfect plan of natural sequence, and doing everything by the agency of his different potencies, he remains eternally the supreme independent. When he descends on the material world by his causeless mercy to different living beings, he does so by his own potency. He is not subject to any condition of the material modes of nature, and he descends as he is originally. The mental speculators misunderstand him as the Supreme Person, and they consider his impersonal features as inexplicable Brahman to be all. Such a conception is also the product of conditioned life, because they cannot go beyond their own personal capacity. Therefore, one who considers the Lord on the level of one's limited potency is also a common man. Such a man cannot be convinced that the personality of Godhead is always unaffected by the modes of material nature. He cannot understand that the sun is always unaffected by infectious matter. The mental speculators compare everything from the standpoint of experimental knowledge of their own selves. Thus, when the Lord is found to act like an ordinary person in matrimonial bondage, they consider him to be like one of them, without considering that the Lord can at once marry 16,000 wives or more. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they accept one side of the picture while disbelieving the other. This means that due to ignorance only, they always think of Lord Krishna as like themselves and make their own conclusions, which are absurd and unauthentic from the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tamaya manyate loko hyasangam apisanginam atmopam yena manujam vyaprinvanam yato buddha. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastachadish Dharne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Lord's entering Dwaraka and being received in all sorts of wonderful ways, and it's all being celebrated. All being celebrated, different features of his amazing transcendental nature, glorious and wonderful, very beautiful transcendental nature, which the devotees celebrate and celebrate and just rejoice in again and again, unlimitedly. But the conditioned souls become dreadfully confused. by this transcendental nature of the Lord. And even to the point, well, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, sometimes some of them get some idea about the absolute truth, some idea, in the sense of the impersonal Brahman. God is light. God is love. God is energy. And these types of concepts, which are basically concepts of the impersonal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they think that's it. And then, when they are presented with ideas about his supreme personal nature, they cannot accept that. They do not accept that. And they, in whatever way, they feel that he's just, that's just something ordinary. The impersonal Brahman, oh, that may be very nice, but any idea that the Supreme Lord may be the Supreme Person, that they reject, even though they may accept the impersonal Brahman. So in other words, they're still deeply, deeply engrossed in Maya. And even someone like Mahatma Gandhi, he thought, he said, that if my Krishna, who spoke Bhagavad Gita, means that very wise Krishna, that very moral and noble Krishna, that if he is the same person who danced with the gopis, well, then I'll reject everything. And he said, then I'll reject being a Hindu. So it's just a typical example. So essentially, a person who embraces such ideas is just showing that even though in certain respects he may accept some particular feature of the absolute truth, but everything is just terribly undermined by his inability to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything becomes ruined. Everything becomes ruined, and even his so-called acceptance of the impersonal Brahman is more or less just an excuse to be offensive and reject the transcendental reality. So when people are on the material platform, when people do not have the shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, when people do not have the shelter, the real shelter of the devotees, then unfortunately their position is very bad. Very, very bad. And the confusion, the different confused ideas which they become attached to and even propagate, these create havoc for everybody, and what to speak of themselves. Krishna, though, just as he's appearing here and or returning here to Dwaraka, and everyone is just rejoicing, everyone is celebrating, everyone is so happy to see their beloved Lord again. So the devotees in general, they celebrate the amazing transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for the non-devotees, avajananti mam mudha, manusim tanam ashrita, param bhavam ajananto, mama bhuta maheshvaram, that the fools deride me when I descend in the human-like form. They do not understand my higher transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that exists. Even if, and of course many don't, but even if they do accept the impersonal feature in some way or another, but they reject Krishna. And like Prabhupada famously said about one very popular philosopher who was still living when Srila Prabhupada was present, at least some of the time, that this person said that when Krishna says sarvadhamman parichaja mame kam sharanam vraja, just surrender to me and give up other dharmas, just surrender to me, the man said that this does not mean that you surrender to Krishna, the person, but it means you surrender to the unborn, unlimited, unmanifest within Krishna. And actually that very famous, extremely famous person, who said that, at some point in the later stage, very last period of his life, he had a stroke and he was hospitalized, and among other things he was unable to talk. And Prabhupada made the point that, just see, he was talking so much nonsense that Krishna decided to take away his power of speech to stop him. So this point of, can we accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the person, or can we not? And this is very critical and crucial point for real progress in spiritual life. And the basic point is that if people cannot accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then even if they do accept some other feature in some way or another, but their position is not necessarily good, and generally speaking, it's bad. Even sometimes the Ashtanga yogis realize the super soul, who of course is a person and is part of the Supreme Person, although not a complete manifestation of the Supreme Person, but certainly quite different from simply the impersonal Brahman. But in some cases, those people who may realize the super soul, they think that, oh, just see, I've realized me. And that is considered the sort of like the final snare, the final trap, that in the end, even if you realize something of the Lord in that respect, but still the last snare of Maya is that you may think you are that person. And in this way, right in the later, very much later stages, one gets quite severely deviated. So to help with all of this, Krishna appears. To help people. But when Krishna appears, then he reveals himself. It depends, of course, different appearances, different pastimes, but like as Lord Krishna being discussed here, as Lord Krishna, he from time to time he revealed that he was the Supreme Lord. He did from time to time very superhuman things, and even sometimes very publicly he did quite superhuman things, and some people understood that, oh, he is Vishnu. What people say about him, that he's Vishnu, that actually it's true. But even when Krishna displayed himself quite openly in certain situations, when he was here 5,000 years ago, still those who were stalwart demons, staunch demons, even then they couldn't accept him. And this point is acknowledged in Stotra Ratna by Yamunacharya, and it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sanatana Goswami in the Madhya Leela, that the Lord is such a person that with the devotees, even if the Lord disguises himself as if he's not the Lord, still the devotees recognize him. Whereas even if the Lord very openly, and you could say just blatantly, shows that he is the Lord, but still the staunch non-devotees, they're not capable of understanding him, accepting him, appreciating him as such. And one of the classic cases in that regard is, as we've mentioned before on a number of occasions, when Lord Krishna went to make his last attempt to negotiate peace and avoid the battle of Kurukshetra, then Duryodhan was not interested in any further discussion, so Duryodhan wouldn't even meet with Krishna. When he heard Krishna wants to meet and discuss again the subject, Duryodhan refused, and Duryodhan called his army, some of his guards and soldiers, and said, arrest him. Just arrest him. So they went out to arrest Krishna, and Krishna displayed his universal form. And the soldiers, not that they were really necessarily devotees, but at least they had enough sort of idea about these things. When they saw this amazing display of Krishna's, they understood he must be Vishnu. And they ran. They ran back to Duryodhan and told him he must be Vishnu. We can't arrest him. And they just ran. They fled. And Duryodhan came out and he saw this display of Krishna. And he thought to himself, and he said, that he's not Vishnu. I know what the situation is. In his previous life, Krishna performed austerities, and now he's got some major mystical powers, and therefore he's able to do this. But he's not Vishnu. So this is what Yamunacharya says, and Sanatana Goswami repeats it, that the Lord, with people who are staunchly enough materialistic, then there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. And for example, sometimes people in all seriousness say that if Krishna was really merciful, why doesn't he just take us back to Godhead? Just extract us from material life forcibly, take us back there, because it's the best thing, it's the right thing, and he should do that. If he's really merciful, he should do that. If he doesn't do it, then maybe he's not really so merciful after all. But the point is that if you take people back to the spiritual world, or if you just change their position in any way externally without them actually having a change of consciousness, then wherever they are, they'll try to do the same things. Prabhupada, as we've mentioned on many occasions, Prabhupada gave the example of a wheat threshing machine, a dinky, they call it. There's a saying that if a dinky goes to heaven, what will it do? The wheat threshing machine, if it goes to heaven, it will thresh wheat, because that's what it is. It hasn't got any other capacity. And if there is no wheat to thresh in the heavenly planets, if the wheat threshes itself or something like that, then the dinky is going to be lost. So if someone who's intensely materialistic goes to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all his or her very gross material desires to enjoy in this way and that and experience so many things, then they won't be satisfied there, and they'll want to come back to Chatsworth, because in Chatsworth you can go to the shop right and you can do all these things and have fun as they feel fun should be. So the change of consciousness is essential. Otherwise, not simply through being thrust back into the spiritual world, not simply seeing the Supreme Lord in all his glory, these things do not definitely not guarantee, if people experience them, that they're going to actually change and become devotees and develop love for the Lord and become completely free from material attractions. They won't. They need the process of devotional service. They need to get some realization. They need the mercy of the devotees. And in that way, undergo a real change of heart. And as you probably all know by now, that change of heart doesn't happen overnight. In our experience so far, at least, we can say we have not had experience of that total 180 degree change of heart overnight in any really substantial and lasting form. It takes time. It takes time. So, in Krishna though, he comes and he gives people the opportunity, sometimes fairly openly, sometimes in more discreet ways. Yes, he leaves it up to our individuality for us to decide. He prompts in different ways and makes different arrangements, gives the association of devotees, all these different things he provides. But in the end, he is waiting for us to make our choice and then to live according to that choice and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So therefore, when Krishna comes, It's not that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is simply doing massive, transcendental feats in front of every single person. He does some things sometimes. And he does some big things also sometimes. But it's not the 24/7. He's just openly displaying his godhood in really extreme and extremely dynamic ways. Yes. And even it's described in the 11th canto, at the end of the 11th canto, when Lord Krishna finally left this world, he left a material body which was cremated just to sort of encourage the same people who are anti him, and who, while he was present, those people who are very adamantly saying that he's just an ordinary person, he's just one of us, maybe he has the mystic power, or people are just making up stories about him, things like that. To satisfy those people, Krishna left a material body which was cremated, so that afterwards they could all say, just see, we were right. So this is Krishna. Ultimately, he leaves it up to us. What's our choice? What's our real choice? He helps us. Tesham satati yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu piyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So he definitely helps, he reciprocates, he helps in many ways. Those who are his devotees and those who are sort of borderline cases, he helps also so they can step across the borderline. But he respects the minute independence of the living entity. He respects that. Because he wants a real personal relationship and not just a forced relationship just because we have to. Just because we have to, we are serving him. Just because we have to, we're chanting. He wants to see us actually approach him and be his devotees on the basis of the proper use of our minute independence. So, and our duty as devotees is to try to extend that opportunity to the conditioned souls. As Srila Prabhupada said about his coming to America, Prabhupada said, I did not wait for you Americans to invite me. Yes. So we follow in Prabhupada's footsteps. We go out to the people and we don't stand there like you see sometimes. Anyway, we are proactive in our approach. We approach them here. Take Krishna consciousness. And we see that some of those people are sort of in very marginal. They may reject, then they may reject again, but then we meet them again sometime later and they say, oh, all right. And they accept something Krishna conscious. And then after a little while, they take up Krishna consciousness. It happens. So devotees very nicely, only very nicely, devotees are very persistent. Devotees, they know how to take no for an answer. but they know how to take it in a particular way and without becoming too bewildered, you know, without bothering the person and harassing the person, but how to take a no and turn it into a yes. This is a more advanced preaching, level of preaching. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question, Mahatma Prabhu?
I was thinking of, you were talking about the qualifications, going back to Godhead. And then we have that story where Prabhupada said, I have the key to the back door.
Right.
So when you were saying that, I was thinking, I think you mentioned if you're there, you can't get in, something like that. You have to have some qualifications. Can you talk a little bit about how Prabhupada's going to get us in the back door before we're ready, or will... Is there some, like, qualification if you get in the back door, and then when you finally get in, then you get the rest of the qualification? How do you understand it?
It may be. There's mercy means there's some substantial qualification. It's not, you know, like a vague qualification. But then by the mercy of great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, then they can carry to us what we lack and help us to become qualified even right at the last moment.
Like they take us into the waiting room, they work on us?
Something like that. Something like that. There's definitely Krishna allows the discretion of great devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And if someone like Srila Prabhupada decides that, okay, let's give this devotee a chance, then Krishna will accept.
Okay, now this brings up another point. Because as we know, when some of our devotees started going outside of ISKCON, we would get reports about how unqualified we are. We didn't know how unqualified we were until they told us. And we started hearing about these very high qualifications for going back to Godhead, which in one sense are Shastra, but in another sense seem to be a little different than what Prabhupada told us. So how do we understand these things? You know, these like, strictly speaking, you need these high qualifications. But Prabhupada seemed to say, just follow these principles, dedicate your life, and you go back to Godhead. Did Prabhupada mean we would get those qualifications? Did Prabhupada mean don't worry about it, by your surrender, it will be taken? How do you understand?
Well, as I understand, and I've located some statements of Prabhupada, that what really matters, the only thing that really matters is the surrender to Prabhupada, yeah, that life, surrendering one's life to Prabhupada, and the rest is detail. Anything else is detail. But, you know, in my experience with those people, the type of people who you're referring to, for them, they're given some information by people who are more attached to information and who don't have that, the main qualification, but who may be erudite to some degree and, you know, so on and so forth, and knowledgeable, well-read, you could say, well-read. And then they sort of try and present it to us, and either directly or indirectly, it's a marketing strategy. on their part. They're trying to impress us and raise doubts in our hearts. Oh, wow, what have I been doing? You know, that sort of doubt by questioning, you know, either trying to introduce some esoteric information, or on the other hand, trying to criticize certain things that we may do or understandings we may have. Yeah. Like, you know, distributing books, Prabhupada's books, is karma yoga. Presented, you know, kind of artfully, cleverly, and innocent people, simple people, who trust whoever's saying it, they then become, you know, doubtful about themselves, their positions, and the situation. So, you know, as devotees study Prabhupada's books more, they will become more familiar with, you know, sort of higher levels of information. But because they have the real foundation and the real essence, which is the connection with Prabhupada, or, you know, hopefully they do, and their real surrender to Prabhupada and his mission, that's really the main thing. And the rest, you know, it's detail. It doesn't make a substantial difference. How does that sound?
Sounds good. I have the same realization. I think, to put it another way, the way I see it is like somebody's cooking. There's dal, there's rice, there's sabji, but there's different spicing, and it doesn't taste the same. And you get the new spicing, and you taste it, and you say, this is not what I'm used to. But it's still the same dal and rice, but it's just something wrong. It doesn't taste right.
Okay. That's a good one.
You know, it's just, Prabhupada has a certain spicing.
Yeah.
And when we taste it, we can taste it's not Prabhupada spicing. I mean, any dedicated follower can know this is not the way Prabhupada spiced it. And we don't like it, because as you say, we know it's not, it's like, it's almost like you're advancing by bypassing Prabhupada in some way.
Right.
You know, it's like, so like you say, they may have knowledge, they may even have realization. Krishna may give them realization as esoteric truths. But that Guru Nishtha is something that's not, it's weakened in some way.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, the thing that I've noticed that is always, it's always concerned me, is that because Prabhupada stressed book distribution so much, there's no question about that.
Right.
And then people go to other organizations and they stop distributing Prabhupada's books and distribute books that are quite esoteric.
Right.
And I always ask myself, why? How can they not see that? You know, that never ceases to amaze me. And what I've understood, because I was very close to a lot of these people, is that because they've accepted someone as a Siksha Guru,
right,
that Siksha Guru is present and he's living, so it tends to supersede Prabhupada's position, and then now they understand Prabhupada through their Siksha Guru, not the other way around.
Right.
So that's why they can say, well, you know, for whatever reason, these are the books now that people need. Prabhupada wrote his books, you know, 30 right. years ago, 40 years ago. And I look at that, I actually can't believe they're saying that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're strict, they have good sadhana.
Right.
Some of them are chanting 64 rounds, so many. So it's just an interesting phenomenon to observe.
One thing I've observed and experienced directly is that it's very easy to read something esoteric and then talk about it. It doesn't take real spiritual advancement. It doesn't take. It's just an academic thing. Yeah. That's all. But there may be a tendency from certain audiences to think it is. But it's just you know, repeating information.
Well, like you said also, there's another danger. Because when they have more information, then it becomes an elitist group, and then pride enters. So yeah. Knowledge is meant to make you humble. That knowledge is making them proud. It's like a big backfire. I've seen this a lot.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
If we have information you don't have, that makes us better.
Right.
We have an advantage. So, okay. You're advancing and you think you're better. Something got lost on the way there.
Maharaj, son. Nadu Mangal Prabhu.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, please. I don't know if I was
you're
so
wrong.
Correct me if I'm saying something that's not correct.
Okay.
Sorry, Allah.
Okay.
I don't know if I heard it in a class or I read it in the introduction. Did Prabhupada say that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to show us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Yes, you're right.
Hari Mahal.
Amongst others.
Amongst a few other things.
I mean, like Lord Ramachandra.
Well, he came to show us that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's true. Because before Lord Chaitanya,
yeah,
there was many, many Vaishnavs were thinking Vishnu is higher. It was even like the main perspective. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada.
If you ask that question to the other group, he came to give Madhurya Ras. That's their answer. Yes?
Yeah, he came to give a number of things, but that's, yeah.
I mean, they won't say the other Rases. They'll say, that's what he came to give, that is. Or Shastra says he came to give all the Rases.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj ki.
Jai.